Hello and welcome to the CSFL Hub podcast. I'm your host as always, Kyle. Today is our week 8 review. This was the last week of the regular season for the CSFL, and this was the postseason weekend for the MSFL. We also crowned our first ever MSFL champion, which I will get into a little bit later. So, as always, we're going to start off with the CSFL. Kicked off the weekend Friday night, Cornell versus St. Thomas Aquinas. St. Thomas Aquinas won this one 28-0. My player of the game is junior running back Reno Milana. He finished the game with 102 rushing yards and 2 rushing touchdowns. So Stack ends their season on a 2-game winning streak. Again, won this one 28-0. Sophomore quarterback Ryan Kenny threw for about 102 yards. No touchdowns, but also no interceptions. It was good to see Kenny get back, you know, to a high level of play last week against Chestnut Hill. Had some consistent play in this one against Cornell. I missed a big chunk of the season due to injury, you know, a few weeks ago. So it's definitely good to see him back and leading St. Thomas Aquinas as they ended their season on a high note. Junior running back Reno Milana is another guy who's been playing really, really good as of late. Last week against Chestnut Hill, he had, I believe, over 100 receiving yards and some touchdowns as well. With lots of big catches, was lots of yak. And this week, he was the team's leading rusher. So, Molina definitely ended the season on a high note. Definitely is a guy who they should look towards to be one of their more consistent playmakers heading into next season. And definitely had a breakout campaign at the end of this year. Senior Makai Matthews closed out his career for the Spartans. He had 4 receptions for 58 yards. Matthews is probably going to go down as the best receiver they've had at St. Thomas Aquinas in their short time in existence. It's been a guy who's been a dynamic playmaker since day one. You know, definitely didn't have the senior year, you know, he expected, or, you know, maybe the league expected, but still went out with a high note, went out with a W. It's always been one of my favorite players to watch, so it's good to see him end his career on a high note. On the defensive side of the ball, the Stack secondary really just proved to be too much for Cornell. That was headed by junior defensive back Sean Bernard. He had 5 tackles with 2 interceptions, and Bernard has been one of the best defensive backs in the league since he first stepped foot into the league, and he definitely continues to prove that week in, week out, and is one of the better cornerbacks you're going to see anytime you turn on a CSFL game. Junior linebacker Chris Jones added 1 tackle for loss, and 1 interception with a decent return to help secure the victory for St. Thomas Aquinas. So Stack ends their season with a 3-4 record, ended it on a 2-game winning streak at the end. Other side of this one, we have Cornell. Cornell was held scoreless in this one. They got Ofered. This was the 4th time this season Cornell was held scoreless. So 4 out of 7 games, they were held scoreless this year. Senior quarterback Xavier Martinez, he threw for 159 yards with 3 interceptions in the final game of his career. The bulk of those yards did go to senior wide receiver Colton Kotecki, who finished with 6 receptions for 102 yards. And Kotecki is another guy who came on really strong at the end of the year. This was his 3rd straight 100-yard game to close out the year. So, you know, Kotecki is one of the few bright spots Cornell's had all season. You know, even though early in the year he didn't have, you know, a lot of yards, a lot of touchdowns, he was clearly one of their best offensive weapons. It just took pretty much to the last 3 games of the year for them to get that connection going in. As, you know, their primary return guy on kick returns is always giving good returns all season, but didn't really translate into, you know, receiving yards, didn't translate into wins. So definitely going to need to replace his production next year and, you know, just get some talent or develop talent that they already had there. You know, Kotecki came back down from the Division I team after he was on the sprint team early in his career. So, you know, I don't know if there's any talent there that they can get or just in terms of recruiting. You know, but 4 games this season, scoreless, 70'd early in the year by Army. So definitely not a lot there this season. Some of their guys who you thought were going to be, you know, dynamic playmakers, you know, Evan Nicholas went to the defensive side of the ball as a corner, and he's definitely an athlete, but isn't, you know, Sean Bernard, isn't Kyle Reedus, isn't Sam Whipple, isn't Nadir from Navy. So he isn't one of those guys. And, you know, a Jacob Wynkoop, who, you know, has a 200-yard game under his belt, has been a dynamic runner and receiver for them in the past, was the second, third ball carrier for them this year. So definitely did not get a lot from the guys you thought were going to be, you know, big-time players. Fortunately, they did have Kotecki, who did give them some relevance late in the season. On the defensive side of the ball, you know, not too much resistance as a team. Cornell only had one sack and four tackles for loss. So not much coming from them in this one. Cornell ends their season with a 1-6 record. Our other Friday night game was Caldwell versus Army. Army won that one 24-13. My player of the game is junior quarterback Mikhail Wilkie. He finished the game with 203 passing yards, two touchdowns to just two interceptions. So with this one, Army secures their spot in the CSFL title game. This was a good back and forth all night. Caldwell got some scores in late to make it a little closer, but this was definitely a good game, which was indicative of the score. Again, Mikhail Wilkie continues to have a great season. He's having a, you know, a legendary season in terms of yardage, compiling up, you know, season totals and stuff, you know, now, and he's already has a top 10 passing yard season and a top 10 passing touchdown season in CSFL history. So with one more game left, you know, look for him to stamp out a incredible first season as a full-time starter. Wilkie is definitely the best quarterback they've had there in some time since Keen West, who was probably about 4 or 5 years ago now. So definitely you can see it in terms of their scoring output when they have a legitimate guy who can sling the rock like that. It's no coincidence that the scoring goes up a little bit and the scoring differentials go up a little bit. Toting the pill was Ryan Connors, who had a career day. He ran for 114 yards with one touchdown. Junior wide receiver Trey Carson led the way on the outside. He had seven receptions, 87 yards with one touchdown. On the other end, linebacker Luke Gigliotti and Michael Sullivan, they both set the tone for Army. Gigliotti led the team with 10 tackles, and Sullivan had 8 tackles, 3.5 tackles for loss, and 1.5 sacks. And I must say, you know, something about Sullivan that definitely jumps off whenever you watch a game is how fast he is sideline to sideline. Like, he'll get beat, you know, sometimes, or a guy will catch a stick or a bounce route, something like that, and he's, you know, on their ass, you know, as soon as possible, every single time. So it's, you know, pretty impressive to watch him, you know, play sideline to sideline like that, you know, really setting the edge, you know, really dominating that hook to curl area and that flat area for that Army defense. In the secondary, senior defensive back Sammy Whipple held it down. He had 4 passes broken up, really stifled the Caldwell passing game. Army will play in the CSFL championship game next week. They will hit the road. They'll be the road team in this matchup as they go visit Navy at Annapolis for the CSFL championship. Caldwell, you know, had a very, very great season and, you know, still had opportunity to take this one to go to the title game, but ultimately they came up short. Senior quarterback Frank DeMio didn't have his most electrifying game, but he was the steady hand that he's been all year for Caldwell. He finished with 92 passing yards with one touchdown and one interception. A notable play came from him where he used his legs to extend the play and found senior wide receiver Jeremy Cologne, who did the rest and scored a touchdown. So definitely did some good things out there. Like he has all season, just came up a little bit short in this one. DeMeo, you know, has been one of the more consistent quarterbacks the last two seasons. I know Caldwell definitely missed him. He's been, you know, captain of the ship for their two most winning seasons in program history. So that's definitely something to be proud of and a testament to his ability, his composure in the pocket, and everything he means to that team. Freshman running back Devin Turner ended his great freshman campaign with 60 yards to lead the team. And then you go to the defensive side of the ball, sophomore defensive back, Amajuan Murray, led Caldwell in tackles. He had 12 tackles, also added 2 tackles for loss with 1 interception. Caldwell ends their season with a 5-2 record. And we go into our Saturday games. First up, we had Chestnut Hill versus Alderson Brodus. Alderson Brodus won this one 40-31. My player of the game in this one was sophomore wide receiver Blake Baxter. He finished the game with a monster 10 receptions, 262 yards, and 2 touchdowns. AB ends their season with a big win over Chestnut Hill, their first win over Chestnut Hill in program history. Senior quarterback Tim Tillman closed out his career with an incredible game. He threw it for 363 yards and 4 touchdowns. Both, I believe, are program records for Alderson Brodus. Tillman finishes his career as AB's all-time leader in passing yards and touchdowns. There wasn't always a lot of talent around him. And as he was developing, sometimes, he kind of got stuck playing with younger guys. But he's been, a consummate professional there at the position. He's been just a consistent hand that team has needed. And, it wasn't always turning into wins, but they definitely weren't losing games because he wasn't good enough type of deal. So definitely is a lot to be proud of his career there at Alderson Brodus. And he will be surely missed as they continue to move forward as a program. And then we get into Blake Baxter, who has been one of their most consistent and most impressive offensive threats all year, to have 262 yards. That is the third most yards in the game in spring football history. Just a couple weeks ago, Andrew Margiotta had a 250-yard game. And that was a program record for Navy, as he passed Matthew Height, who had 251-yard receiving game a few years ago, more than a few years ago, probably like 7-8 years ago. I think I was a freshman when he did that. So lots of receiving records broken this year. And, for Baxter, who's, again, usually one of the focused in targets, doesn't always get, the amount of yards or receptions his talent is indicative of, to explode and have a game like that is, definitely putting him on the map for years to come in terms of, whenever you play Alderson Brodus, who do you got to focus on? And that receiving core is definitely going to be him moving forward. So congratulations to that record, defining game, record-breaking game from Blake Baxter, and what it meant in this one for them to ultimately get the win over Chestnut Hill. Defensively, junior defensive back Ethan Cataloupi led Alderson Brodus with 10 tackles and 1 tackle for loss. And sophomore linebacker Dalton Duncan, who had a good game, he had 8 tackles, 1 interception with 4 passes broken up. And of those 4 PBUs, another 2 of them could have been interceptions. He just couldn't get his hands on it all the way. So Dunkel, who was one of their better defensive players, ended his sophomore season with a really great game. And then freshman defensive lineman Kenyatta Green had the best game of his career so far with 7 tackles, 4 tackle for loss, and 1 sack. Alderson Brodus ends their season with a 2-5 record. Chestnut Hill stayed in striking distance in this one. There was a little bit of a back and forth as they creeped closer, but ultimately they could not stop this Alderson Brodus offense on their historic day. The quarterback position continues to be a question for Chestnut Hill. The usual combination of C.J. Small and Anthony Cantalera. They threw for 227 yards between the two of them, each threw a touchdown and each threw an interception. For the Griffins, their freshman, Zaire Pinnell, was, their Mr. Do-It-All today. He led the Griffins on the ground with 66 rushing yards and 2 touchdowns, and he also had 1 receiving touchdown. So 3 touchdowns for the freshman, which you would call a breakout day for him, as he tried to keep the Griffins close and within striking distance. Freshman linebacker Lex Williams led the team in tackles with 12 tackles, 1.5 tackles for loss. Williams also finishes the season as the team leader in tackles. So for a freshman to be your team leader in tackles, definitely impressive, and should give him a good jumping block, to continue to develop as the Griffins, look to rebound next year from a disappointing season. Chestnut Hill ends their season with a 0-7 record. Then we have our last game of the weekend. This was Saturday afternoon up in Mansfield. It was Navy versus Mansfield. Navy won that one 43-14. My player of the game was senior running back Alex Tota. He finished the game with 160 yards and 2 touchdowns. Navy ends their regular season undefeated with this win over Mansfield. Junior quarterback Brandon Atwood had another solid game, threw for 146 yards with 2 touchdowns. Also added 12 rushing yards and added another 2 rushing touchdowns. So 4 touchdowns on the day from Atwood. You know, he's been a consistent hand all year for them. He hasn't had too many explosive passing games, but that's not necessarily, you know, their MO. That's not their recipe for success. But he definitely has shown, like, when he does need to pass the ball, he's more than capable. Again, the best passer they've had there in damn near 8 years since Nick Dearding. So definitely have a real talent there at the quarterback position. It seems like every game, too, he makes a incredible throw where he shakes out of a sack or somebody's chasing him down and just manages to find, you know, pass catchers down the field. I know in this one he did just that, shook off somebody, getting pressure from his left side, throwing out right, and he found Andrew Margiotta down the field for a first down. So very impressive throws are coming from him pretty much every game. Definitely a guy who is going to be able to keep Navy in a position to win games and championships for the foreseeable future. And again, Alex Tota is the guy, is the freight train, drives the bus. He's the workhorse, carries the workload for them in terms of toting the pill, 160 yards, 2 touchdowns. This is his 5th 100-yard game of the season and his 6th 2-plus touchdown game of the season. So Tota is definitely, you know, 1A, 1B, or 1C, the best individual player, offensive player in all of spring football and all of the CSFL. Is definitely a guy who you have to just focus in and lock in on. Can't say enough nice things about the kid as a football player. And, you know, just impressive to watch. And anytime you turn on the Navy game, you expect to see fireworks from Alex Tota. Not to be outdone, though, junior wide receiver Andrew Margiotta had a great day. He finished with 5 receptions for 105 yards and a touchdown. This is his second 100-plus receiving yard of the season. Had a 250-yard receiving game earlier in the season. So, you know, definitely keeps teams honest when you have a guy like that lined up at wide out. You know, you can't just stack 7 in the box, 8 in the box all the time, because Andrew Margiotta will make you pay, especially when Brandon Atwood is throwing the ball. Defensively, senior linebacker Paul Kluwer led the team in tackles with 6. And Navy heads home to host Army in the title game next week. So that should be an exciting matchup. That game will be on a Sunday, different than the usual spring football matchups usually take place Friday and Saturday. That game will be on a Sunday, so mark your calendars for that one. Mansfield was in this game early. It was a 14-14 game, I believe, at the end of the first or nearing the end of the second. Just a flurry of Navy points proved to be too much for this Mansfield team. Sophomore quarterback Sid Raymond was spectacular once again, like he has been all season. The quarterback threw for 193 yards with 1 touchdown and 1 interception, added 77 rushing yards and a touchdown. You know, it feels like every game, you know, similar how Atwood's, you know, due for an amazing throw, escape every single game, Sid is due for a heroic run or throw every single game as well. He had a couple of runs this game where it was just, you know, jaw-dropping. Seems like he does that every single game, especially to keep Mansfield in this one. You know, it was a run in particular where it looked like he was bottled up in the backfield, quarterback design run, just like seems like he just slipped off of everybody, you know, to escape. And then there was another run, you know, didn't turn into the most yards he had on the day, but it was either Paul Kluwer or Devin Martin was coming in to sack him backside, and he just dipped and slipped, and the defender just flew over him. And like it's like he slipped a punch, and he took it to get some yards, get a first down. So just 2 incredible runs from Raymond that game. And, you know, he did what he had to do to keep them in this game and keep them competitive. Senior wide receiver Eugene Hayes finished up his career with an 8 reception, 74-yard game. And Hayes has been a guy who's really came on the last 2 years, you know, kind of just in a rotation early in his career. You know, nothing spectacular, but these last 2 years, he's definitely turned into one of Raymond's most reliable targets, especially in terms of a deep threat, using his big body and stride to get down the field. So definitely impressive game for Haynes in his final game of his Mansfield career. On the defensive side of the ball, senior linebacker Matt Robert closed out his, you know, Hall of Fame career, quite frankly, with 15 tackles, 1 tackle for loss. Robert finishes his career as Mansfield's all-time leader in tackles which is no small feat. You know, that record is held by former Mansfield great Jake Meyers. So to be able to sit at the table with a guy like Jake Meyers is, you know, one and two of the best linebackers they've ever had there is just a testament to the type of player Robert has been since he stepped into the league. You know, my eyes have been on him whenever you watch Mansfield since day one. He came in as a Mike backer and has dominated. So definitely an incredible, incredible career from Robert, and he closed this one out, you know, with a top-notch game as well. Mansfield ends their season with a 5-3 record. Now we get into our MSFL action. So this was our playoff weekend for the MSFL. So each of these games was considered a playoff game. The two games outside of the MSFL championship game were to decide, you know, final seeding in terms of their standing, where they place at in terms of, you know, the end of the season. So they were playing for third place and they were playing for fifth place. So the fifth place game, as well as the championship, obviously. So the fifth place game was between Fontbonne and Midway. Fontbonne won this one 6-0. My player of the game is freshman defensive lineman Isaiah Sanders. He finished the game with 6 tackles, 4 tackles for loss, and 2 sacks. So Fontbonne won this tightly contested game. This one, you know, was essentially going down to the wire until Fontbonne broke it open. Offensively, athlete quarterback Chris Reckel struggled. Is yet to recapture that magic he had in that one explosive game. He threw for 86 yards with 1 interception. The lone touchdown on the day was scored by freshman running back Deron White. He had the 45 yards and the 1 touchdown. And White has been one of the more consistent offensive players Fontbonne's had all year. A little bit overshadowed in terms of freshman ball carriers, you know, in the MSFL when you have a Pereira, a Flemings, and a Reed, and then you have secondary guys like Antis, and then you go over to the CSFL and you have a Devin Turner. Lots and lots of talent, lots in terms of freshman running backs. So White hasn't really gotten a lot of, you know, the attention from like myself in the league, but he has been a consistent presence for this Fontbonne offense, you know, maybe with some improved blocking. And of course, as he continues to mature and get better, we'll see some big things from him, you know, later in his career, but definitely was the hero today, you know, scoring the lone touchdown for the Fontbonne offense. Defensively, freshman defensive lineman Isaiah Sanders finishes up his impressive freshman campaign, again, with 6 tackles, 4 tackles for loss, 2 sacks. He's been one of the most impressive defensive linemen in all of spring football, especially of all of the freshmen. So he's a must-watch guy whenever you turn onto a Fontbonne game. So Fontbonne definitely has a staple of their defense for years to come. On the secondary, Xavier Reddick, who's been a guy who's done his thing all season for the Griffins defense. He had 1 tackle with 2 interceptions. He's also another guy you have to watch whenever you turn on a Fontbonne game. So Fontbonne finishes their season in fifth place. They also finished with a 2-5 record. So Midway was in it, you know, for the entirety of the game until they were out of it. Did everything they could to win this game, but ultimately their offensive struggles proved to be too much to overcome. For Midway, freshman quarterback DJ Palmer did not have a good day. He threw for 31 yards with 3 interceptions. He's had some good games sprinkled in the season, but overall he has struggled. Overall he has struggled throughout the season. Freshman running back Caden Perez led the team with 49 rushing yards. Outside of that, the usual suspects of Joshan and Panther Alphonse couldn't really do too much for the Midway offense today, despite both of them having really good freshman seasons. Freshman defensive back Therese McKinney led the way for Midway with 8 tackles and 2 tackles for loss. And freshman defensive lineman Gavin Lay added 6 tackles, 1 tackle for loss, and 1 sack. Midway finishes their inaugural season with a 0-7 record, and they will be the sixth place team in the MSFL. So our third place game was Quincy versus Bellarmine. Quincy won this one 24-14, and this was a great game as well. Very, very tightly contested game. My player of the game is sophomore linebacker Ray Lingard. He finished with 9 tackles, 2 tackles for loss, and 1 interception. Quincy fought back in this one from a halftime deficit to score 24 unanswered points to close out their season with the win and claim the third place seeding in the MSFL. Senior athlete quarterback Taylor Klusmeyer. He's been a steady hand all year. There's just been a couple guys who've just been like sturdy all year. Taylor Klusmeyer, Frank DeMeo, Brandon Atwood. You know, they have some big games in there, but they're just the staple of consistency that some teams need. You know, obviously you want a super electrifying quarterback, but everybody can't have one. You know, it's not that easy to develop one or find one. So, you know, Klusmeyer's had some explosive games, don't get me wrong, but it's just been a consistent hand as a senior, you know, nonetheless, that this Quincy offense has needed. And ultimately they finished their season with a winning record and big win over Bellarmine. Klusmeyer threw for 90 yards, two touchdowns with an interception. He also ran for 81 yards. So, you know, Klusmeyer, again, just having that senior presence and a senior leadership there on a team of overwhelmingly freshmen with a few sophomores is definitely something that will leave a lasting impact on this Quincy team. And his legacy as a Hawk here in his lone season will forever be remembered, what he did for this program in his lone season there. Freshman running back Hector Ramirez had the best game of his young career. He had 95 rushing yards and one touchdown to lead Quincy. Freshman athlete Xavier Hinton and freshman wide receiver Elijah Leisman combined for 7 receptions, 85 yards, and one touchdown. And Hinton's a guy who's done some running back, does some wide receiver, and he's proven to be one of their more explosive players. Definitely one of their more explosive pass catchers as he's transitioned to wide receiver as well. So definitely some talent there for Quincy to, you know, develop as they look towards the future. And defensively, they have, you know, just as many stars as any team in the MSFL, starting with sophomore linebacker Ray Lingard. He's been a guy who's just stood out since game one. He jumps off the tape whenever you watch a Quincy game, just athletic, explosive, you know, can rush the passer, stuffs the run. One of my favorite players to watch. He finished this one with 9 tackles, 2 tackles for loss and interception. And Lingard just finishes his sophomore season, his first season, obviously, in the MSFL, but he's a sophomore. Proving that he's one of the best linebackers in all of Spartan football, MSFL, CSFL, doesn't matter. He's one of the best guys at that position in terms of dominating his peers and his competition. So definitely a guy to look towards, you know, postseason accolades from the league and myself as well. And one of the best defensive players in all of Spartan football. Quincy ends their season with a 4-3 record and the third place team in the MSFL. Bellarmine had a hot start in this one, took a 14-0 lead, but, you know, things did not go their way in the second half. Freshman quarterback Dylan Goff struggled in his final outing. He only threw for 75 yards with one interception. Freshman running back Brennan Reed, who has been the workhorse, the, you know, the guy who bears the burden for this Bellarmine offense, had a nice day. You know, the Quincy defense, definitely, you know, a high-powered defense, so they kept his rushing totals down. He did run for 69 yards and did have 2 rushing touchdowns. So he was there. You know, it's just a really, really good defense that they're playing in Quincy. And Reed finishes up his, you know, very impressive freshman season. Hearing me talk about him all year, one of the best running backs in all of Spartan football, and of a freshman trifecta in the MSFL of him, of Flemings and Pereira. Just going to be super fun to watch those three guys continue to develop and, you know, continue to be stars, you know, in this league and the guys who drive the bus for their football teams. Defensively, senior running back, defensive back Devin Hendricks led the team with 12 tackles. And Hendricks is a kind of a guy like Klusmeyer in terms of what he means to this team with his senior leadership and his lone season. And, you know, he's been one of the more electrifying, like, athlete type of guys. He does some things on defense as well. Obviously, in this game, led them in tackles, but like running back, wide receiver type guys who really can shine and do a lot for your team in Spartan football. You know, I think more so than traditional Division II, III, or Division I football, you get these multi-purpose guys. They might be listed at running back. They might be listed at receiver, and they might not be as good or as, you know, impactful as maybe the lead ball carrier or the lead receiver, but they can offer you so much in terms of being returners, in terms of toting the pill, catching the rock. So he's one of those flex, multi-purpose athlete guys who really, really had a good year. And, you know, he's a testament to how good athletes are in Spartan football. He's one of the better two-sport athletes in Spartan football. He's a wrestler there, big-time wrestler at Bellarmine, and one of the best wrestlers they have on in their wrestling program. So for him to come over to Spartan football and have a great, great year in his lone season is a testament to what type of athlete he is and what type of athletes do come through the MSFL and CSFL. So big ups to Hendricks as he finished up his career. Bellarmine will finish their season with a 4-3 record and be fourth place in the MSFL. Then we have our key marquee game of the weekend of all of the games, Saturday night prime time for the MSFL championship. This was between St. Mary of the Woods College and Camulet College of St. Joseph, SMWC versus CCSJ. SMWC won this one 23-7. They are your inaugural MSFL champions. My player of the game is freshman running back Patrick Pereira. He finished with 116 yards on the ground, did add one reception for 29 yards. So this was the third matchup between these two teams, a thriller in Manila, if you will. St. Mary the Woods College won the first one in OT. Camulet College won the second one later in the season. I believe that was a dink doink field goal that won them that one. And St. Mary of the Woods College gets vengeance for their last loss. Ultimately stopped them from having an undefeated regular season. And they win the MSFL championship. This one was, you know, a great game, as you would expect when two teams play, you know, essentially one score games each time. The scoring differential was a little bit bigger in this one, but still, nevertheless, was just a hard-fought game, dogfight all the way through. Freshman Kyle Vernelson got the start at quarterback, so we did not see Brendan Landry. But he did not disappoint. The freshman threw for 170 yards and one touchdown, also added a rushing touchdown as well. So just goes to show the level of depth that St. Mary of the Woods College has at, you know, the quarterback position and these skill positions that, you know, they're missing their, you know, freshman Freenom quarterback Brendan Landry, and Kyle Vernelson, you know, stepped up and still got the job done. And when you have a guy like freshman Patrick Pereira who can tote the pill like he did, 116 yards on the night, again, him, Flemings, Reed, just a trifecta of incredible freshman running backs. And it goes to show you, you know, you can get these guys from all over the country. I believe Pereira is from Texas. I believe Flemings is from Indiana. And I believe Reed is from Tennessee. So all over the country, you know, the MSFL has gotten top, top talent. And Pereira is one of the perennial stars at the running back position. And he proved it on this night as they won the championship. Same thing defensively. Freshman edge player Hunter Cardwell led the way for St. Mary's of the Woods College. He had 11 tackles, 2 tackles for loss, 1 sack, and 1 interception. And Cardwell, along with Jackson, have been two of the premier defenders in the MSFL and of all spring football. So it's going to be super fun and exciting to watch those guys continue to play and develop. And, you know, of all the positions, you know, in spring football, and obviously as a coach now myself, I, you know, can appreciate all positions for different reasons. But as a former player, playing, you know, defense end, outside linebacker, Mike Becker, I just have an appreciation for these edge guys who can, you know, rush the passer and stuff the run. So they're some of my favorite. Cardwell and Jackson, I mean, are two of my favorite players to watch just because I have the utmost respect for what they can do for that defense, you know, having done similar things in the defense that I played on. So St. Mary of the Woods College, a lot of talent coming back next year. I'm definitely going to be competing, you know, with a chance to repeat next year. But they are your inaugural MSFL champion, so you got to give it up to them for that. On the other side of the ball, CCSJ, you know, congratulations to them for making the championship game. Again, third time these two teams have matched up, so you knew it was going to be fireworks. They had their chances in this one, but ultimately a good SMWC defensive game plan just proved to be too much for them. Camulet College passing attack was not there this night. Freshman quarterback Blaze Cano and Carson Crow both played. They combined for 106 yards, just 3 interceptions and no touchdowns. So the passing attack has not been the name of the game for CCSJ all season. Even when Crow's had a good game here or there, even when Cano's had a good game here or there, no huge, you know, outputs of offense in terms of passing. They're definitely a run-first team, and, you know, looks like they, you know, stifled the passing game there and basically shut down the running game. So CCSJ just struggled offensively tonight. The usual dynamic pair of Flemings, you know, guy I've mentioned all year long is one of the best running backs in the league, and Elijah Antis, who is no slouch, you know, is definitely the lightning to Flemings' thunder. They only combined for 60 total yards of offense and one touchdown, and the touchdown came from Antis. So really, really good, you know, St. Mary's defensive game plan. You just have to give it up to them. To no easy feat to stop those two guys and that offensive line from imposing their will. So definitely going to have to bounce back next year. But again, having Flemings and Annis two top-notch running backs, with Flemings being one of the best running backs in spring football. Definitely a lot of positives as CCSJ goes into next year. And defensively, freshman linebacker Trevor Bousy led the game with 19 tackles, three tackles for loss and one sack. And those 19 tackles are definitely up there all time in tackles in the game in spring football history. I got to check the exact number, but I believe it's either one, two, or three. Most tackles all time in spring football history. So for the freshman to go out there and put on a performance like that, you know, with everything on the line, you know, no, there is no tomorrow type stuff. So definitely a testament to his ability and what he means to that team. And then freshman defensive back Josh Tejeda, he chipped in 7 tackles, 3.5 tackles for loss, with 1 sack, with 1 forced fumble. So lots of good players on both teams. Isaac Hedgewood, you know, I think he has 7 tackles in there too. Another guy you got to watch, Quatarius Davis for CCSJ. Another guy you got to watch as they develop. So lots of future all-time greats in this game. And I think when you look back on this game 3, 4, 5, 6 years from now, as these guys develop and, you know, some other teams win some championships and St. Mary's and CCSJ continue to, you know, compete, it's going to be just so fun from a lore perspective to go back and look at some of these games and look at what some of these all-time great players did. So CCSJ came up short in this one. They finished the second place team in the MSFL, and they finished their season with a 5-2 record. So that is a wrap for the MSFL season. Again, St. Mary the Woods College are your inaugural champions. CCSJ finishes second. Quincy finishes third. Bellarmine finishes fourth. Fontbonne finishes fifth. Midway finishes sixth. So great, incredible season for the MSFL in their first season. It's been an absolute pleasure to watch and cover these teams, these players, these coaches, you know, just to see how far spring football has come, and that this league in their first year just absolutely left my jaw dropped to the floor, you know, week after week in terms of players and, you know, amazing plays. And I just can't wait to continue to cover, you know, these players and teams and coaches. And I will find a weekend to get out there and go to a game. You know, I just have to. Ultimately, with my coaching season this year in high school, I never had, you know, 3 days to go catch a plane to go somewhere, fortunately. But I will catch a game, mark my words, in person, because I just have a great appreciation for this style of play that they play out there and the level of athlete they get out there. And it's just amazing to watch week to week. So congratulations to all the teams in the MSFL for being a part of an inaugural season. You know, all the ups, all the downs, no one can take away from the production that you put out there on the field this year. So big ups to all players and coaches involved, and you know, faculty and ADs and everybody, commissioners, everybody top to bottom who was involved in getting this MSFL off the ground and making this inaugural season a success. As we flip to the CSFL, again, Navy will play Army next Sunday for the championship. So make sure you're all tuned into that. That will be on ESPN Plus. I just got my ESPN Plus renewed, so I will be watching that game. Fortunately, I will not be able to go to that one. This will be the first championship game I've not been able to go to. I went to Army and Navy at Franklin Pierce, like not Franklin Pierce, Penn, like 3 years ago, 2 years ago, whatever it was. And then I went to Mansfield last year for Army Navy. Fortunately, I will not be able to go to this one on Sunday. I have something I got to do that's really important on Saturday, so I won't be able to drive up there on Sunday. But I will be tuned in, locked in, live tweeting the game as usual. So really good matchup going in this one. You have two top-notch quarterbacks in Wilkie and Atwood looking to go at it. You have, you know, the best running back in spring football, and Alex Tota. Expect big, big things from him as he closes out a historic career and a historic season. So I'm definitely going to be eyes glued to Tota. And then you have Donovan Mannion and Andrew Margiotta. Which one of those guys can take advantage of their matchups more? You know, Andrew Margiotta, expect a lot of bump from Sammy Whipple. Really looking forward to that matchup. Great matchup in years past was Grant Hooper versus Tom Williamson. You know, flip side now, but this echoes, you know, that type of game. I'm really, really excited to that. And can Navy's cornerback, Nadir, can he slow down Donovan Mannion? You know, I don't know. So it'll be definitely a good game with a lot of good matchups across the board here. So make sure you tune into that one. And congratulations to all the CSFL teams who are finishing up their season, their regular season this past weekend. You know, it's been super great watching teams like Mansfield and Caldwell, you know, go after it and compete for that top spot in terms of each one of their, well, they're both in the same conference, but compete for that top spot in their conference. And, you know, seeing some of the other teams in the South, like Penn, you know, have a, you know, down year by their standards, but still fun seeing guys like Brennan Graves and Jake Wang and Andrew Poelini go out there and get after it. And, you know, seeing these younger teams go out there and compete, you know, Chestnut Hill ultimately did have a winless season, but played a one-score game with Penn, you know, was up early on Navy to start the season in the first game of the year. So definitely some talent there. They just got to, you know, continue to mature, continue to get better. Same thing for Albertson Brodus, being able to knock off a St. Thomas Aquinas team that beat Penn, and then having this explosive game on Chestnut Hill at the end of the season shows how much they've matured and they continue to grow as a coaching staff and players. And St. Thomas Aquinas knocking off Penn and beating Cornell, beating the two Ivy League schools in 1 year, is definitely a testament to what they got going on up there. And if it wasn't for a few injury bugs, maybe they have a better season than they had. So lots of talent in the CSFL between the coaches, between the players, and definitely looking forward to continuing coverage there. And, you know, the future is bright for both leagues, and I'll be here every single step of the way. So next week we have Army versus Navy in the championship game. Looking forward to covering that. As always, I'm your host, Kyle. Thank you for joining me on the CSFL Hub podcast. Catch you guys next week to wrap up the season. Peace.